G'day and welcome to the Breaking Through podcast. I've gone back to a guest that I've had on before. I think I've only had one guest this year that was a new one. And you know what? I'm going to keep doing it because I like their music. They're on for a reason. It's Ella and Mott from Little Girls. How you going?
Hi.
How you going?
Now, the reason I got you on was because the last time I looked at Freak Show when it came out, like 2 days in, and it was at like 30k or like 40k or something, and I was like, oh, I'll check back in a couple of weeks or whatever, and then it's been a couple months. Time flies when you're having fun, and it's almost at 250k.
Yeah.
So that's a quarter of a million streams in just under 2 months. What the fuck, for one? Like,
walk me through
that.
I would say luck. We got on a few good playlists, which help a lot, like Spotify playlists. But yeah, I honestly, we couldn't tell you. Like, we liked the song, but yeah, it just, I think, honestly, just luck, things like this.
Yeah. I think as well, once you get like on a playlist or something, it sort of just, it helps itself, and it sort of just, obviously more people start to listen to it, and then it just sort of creates this effect where it sort of, once it gets the ball rolling, it just kind of sort of keeps going, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember checking it after like 2 days, and I think you guys put up a story or something and said that, like, fuck, we got put on this playlist. Is there, like, have you learnt, like, if there's one playlist that you got on in that time that you're like, fuck, this is the one we want to get on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find that they do, like, they have playlists like fresh indie hits or like those kind of playlists, and they stay on there for about a week, and you get like a short stunt of streams, but then they do these like other playlists, like we're on Coffee and Chill. That's the playlist that we're on, and that's like sort of like a, it's just been consistent like the whole time. We're on 6,000 streams a day for like 2 months, just consistently.
Yeah.
And yeah,
but the thing is with these playlists, like it only They're helpful and you get numbers or whatever, but it's only really matters if you can convert those listeners into fans. So that's the kind of aim now. That's the heart of it, you know?
Yeah.
I was having this chat. I've had this chat a few times, actually, and people are like, oh, yeah, that numbers, they'll sell out shows. It's like it's streaming numbers. It's TikTok numbers. Yeah. That's literally just gambling. Ellie, you said you're 6,000 a day streams. Were you checking that bad boy every day?
Every single morning. We were like, oh, my God, it hasn't gone down. Like, we've been so excited. Like, now it's definitely died off a lot. Like, I actually was looking at it today, and I haven't checked in a couple of weeks, and I've gone, oh, shit. Fuck, we passed, like, the 200,000 mark. I didn't even realise that. Because, yeah, obviously we just released a song a couple of weeks ago as well, so I've been checking that one, but I haven't really even been checking Freak Show. So, yeah, when you look at it after a while, you're like, oh, my God, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, like I said, it's just trying to convert those listeners into fans, which is, you know, a challenge.
I was thinking about it this morning. Does it, like, obviously that is now your biggest song, and in a tiny amount of time, does that change where it goes in the set list now? Do you go, fuck, like, if this one's getting drilled, maybe we've got to put it somewhere else, or does it not really matter until, you know, those live shows pile up with it?
Because we've got quite, obviously our music is a little bit slower than maybe your fast sort of up-paced songs, so a lot of our like set lists sort of, we have to place them in a spot where it's not going to lull a lot in our set, and like, so a lot of our set list strategy is more to do with the pace of the song. We've got a few, because a lot of our songs are actually quite consistent, so we've got a few songs that we sort of alternate sometimes as the last song or whatever, because yeah, they're quite consistent in the sense of, I think, favourites. Like, we don't really have a standout favourite. I think, as we said before, obviously the streams and Freak Show.
But that doesn't resonate, I wouldn't say. Like, people know it, but it's not like, you know, no one's like, oh, my God, Freak Show.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah. I find they're all quite consistently. Yeah. Like, we hear people say things like, oh, we have this, we spoke about this last time, but we've got a song called Slow Burn.
Ugh.
And we hate, but a lot of people come up to us and like, that's our favourite. Like, we don't have, like, a standout song that people say is their favourite, we've noticed. So we sort of just, like, play our set how we feel it goes well together. We don't, you know, actually play our best song last.
We don't give a fuck what you guys want to hear. This is what we're playing. Fuck
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I find it interesting how a lot of your other songs since we last spoke on the pod, a lot of other songs are picking up, well, like steadily going up as well. Like, I can't remember which one it is. You have a song very close to 100K. It's like 600 streams away from 100K. Now, you obviously didn't get to like the 200K for Freak Show came very quickly, but this one's obviously taken its time. When this one gets to 100K, are you going to like kind of celebrate that or, you know, just go, yep, just another 100 on the milestone? Is there anything to take a moment?
Because like, a few years ago, we would have been happy with anything, you know. Yeah. So it's like, it's always good to be like, oh shit, you know.
Yes.
Like, that's an achievement, you know, relative to us, you know.
It's we celebrate it with our producer. Like, we keep him updated on the stats and stuff, and we're like, happy hundy. Like, we talk about it. We even actually were at one point like thinking about having like a barbecue at Brady's, having like a little 100 party. But now we're at 200, and we're like, oh shit, like, you just. It just, like, once I find you get to something, you're like, all right, now to 200 or to 300, like, you just want to get, like, to that next milestone. But, sometimes it's good to sit back and actually, like, realise, like, the achievement in itself. And it's, it's pretty cool.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like, it's, you know, you see stories of, like, artists never being happy, even though, like, super successful.
Mm.
And it's kind of like that, not obviously to the same degree, but in the sense where it's like, it's never enough, you know. You gotta be happy with it yourself, not just focus on the numbers and that.
It seems like those numbers came as a bit of a shock. Does that like change the mentality moving forward of like, fuck, this is what's going to get us on those playlists, this is what's going to get us those numbers? Or is it just like, fuck it, like, it was good, but maybe this one's just luck?
I think in future, writing songs more like that.
Yeah.
For me, we haven't really talked about that much, but for me, no, because I don't want to like write a song for the audience. I reckon they'll like this, you know. You got to write it for yourself, not like.
I actually really have been, I've said this like a couple of times, but I love the grungier sort of vibe. I love to go more grungy. So that was probably the closest song we have to a bit more grunge. So it's actually quite good to know that that's, you know, the sort of outcome the song, that we actually really want to sort of go down that path a little bit more. So that's really good, because that, it was sort of a bit of a...
But like, I would love to go down that direction more, but just in the sense, like, just because an audience likes it, you know, it doesn't mean you should just do it because they like it, you know. If you like it, that's what matters.
It's interesting because, like, I've obviously focused heaps on TikTok in the past 6 months. I'm talking to a lot of artists about it, and I feel like it's becoming more and more evident that people are kind of revolving their music to be like, oh, if I do this, this will be viral. If I put this in, someone will definitely dance to that. Does that come into it at all?
We've never done that.
We actually find it hard to follow a theme with our music. Like, we go into it sometimes going, all right, we want to do a more upbeat song, and then no matter how hard we try, it will just come out how it comes out. Like, we really don't, like, we actually, I think sometimes we do go into it maybe with an intent, but like, it always changes. Like, you should hear the songs from like the start when we first write them to how they end. They are completely different.
Yeah.
Like, it's, we, like, our transition on how our songs change is crazy. So like, it doesn't even, like, even if we go in with an intent, it just never.
The original demo for Freak Show was so fucking different.
Yeah. Oh, it was like this Walk in the Park song. We had it as, it was like a ding, 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 like sort of Walk in the Park song. And now it's turned into this grungy, like, you know, like a bass driven song. It's completely different.
Yeah. It'd be cool to see that version. Have you ever thought of like releasing like an AB of the same song?
The thing is though, it wasn't very good.
Yeah. It was like, this has got an issue, we need to fix it.
Yeah, that's why we changed it. But I mean, there have been versions of songs. Like, there's a song coming out in the EP. We have an EP coming out, so called Faint Hearted, and the original for that was much different to the recorded version. And I didn't mind the original, it was different, but, you know.
Yeah.
Newest one. I really like Other Side. I really like it. I said it last time I had you guys on, how you guys mesh your voices really well together. And as soon as I turned this on for the first time, I was like, yeah, this is the shit I like.
But
run me through that first day of release, because obviously the song before went gangbusters. So when it doesn't get like 40, 50K in a day, is it like not let down, but like trying to bring yourself back to earth a little bit and go, this is still good. It's just like, it's not going to be those, you know, 200K streams.
I was aware of that. Like when Seven Freak Show started doing well numbers wise, I was like, not every song can do like well like that, that fast. So I was, you know, ready for Other Side not to maybe do as well.
Yeah. I actually find a big mental thing with us as well. I actually learned with this release, for example, like we were actually as a group, we sort of learned our lesson with Slow Burn. We'll never release something that we don't like, but we were actually a bit divided on like what the single should be in the EP. And Mop and I actually weren't as excited for this one to be the single. We had a different song that we wanted as a single. But I actually find the mentality as well with the whole release and the it makes a difference as well. Like how much, I don't know, we just subconsciously push it. Like with Freak Show, personally, I loved Freak Show. So like, I think subconsciously, we all really loved Freak Show. Subconsciously, it was like we just went hard on like the promotion of it as well. And you don't actually realize as well, like if you feel that passionate about your song, you sort of just, that push is just a little bit there a bit more. Not to say it's been a conscious thing that we've done, but like I think because, maybe it wasn't, we weren't as excited for this song, even though we do love it, it just wasn't as excited. It's like a mental thing as well. I don't know, that's just something I found personally. I don't know how they feel, but I do feel like even on our personals, we haven't pushed it as much as we did with Freak Show. Maybe it might have something to do with it. Don't know.
How's that get decided? Is it just like a majority rules?
Yeah, it was just majority rules.
Yeah, really. That's the only way we can do it. We talk about it a lot. But at the end of the day, it just has to be majority rules. That's the only way we can sort of sort things out sometimes.
Is it like, are you saying it to each other or is it like answer in a hat, scrunch them up a little bit just so you don't see who's saying what?
Just over text usually or like at a jam or whatever.
Like a vote. We do a vote.
Yeah. Messenger vote. I wouldn't be able to say it to your face. So that's definitely the way I'd be going. You're coming over East again. Came over end of last year? So like not your first time, but is there a different kind of goal coming over this time, or just kind of trying to build up your audience over East? Obviously going for Our Eyes Awesome.
I think mine at least is just to meet a lot of people. Try break out of the Perth kind of scene a little bit, you know, not completely disassociate, but just like, you know, try to be seen more over East and be recognised as a band that does try to tour, you know.
Our streams are better over East than they are in WA. So it'll be exciting to see. Sort of, it's the first time we've played in like Melbourne and Sydney and stuff. So that'll be exciting for us because I think sometimes our sound isn't, I don't know. I think maybe we would do it better over East sometimes.
Sometimes that, because you know, no one's like moshing to, you know,
other side.
I know. Surprise, surprise. No one's moshing to, you know, other side. But
if someone breaks a leg at your gig, like that's when you know something fucked up's happened.
I think just because there's a bigger audience, meaning there's people with varied tastes of music, so we're keen to kind of see how our set resonates with people over there.
Yeah,
I guess.
I've been talking heaps about gig cancellations and cost of living and all that type of shit with bands and festivals falling around us, which is not incredible to see. Obviously, going over East from Perth is a big thing to do. And, you know, you're not just staying in one little area. Talk me through that I don't know, anxiety or just trying to keep yourself in check when all of this is happening around our music scene?
I think Rara asked us, and we were like, yeah, fuck yeah, we're keen. Let's do it. And I feel like it's more so with the whole festivals that are getting cancelled, and like I feel like gigs themselves aren't actually too bad, at least from what I've
just
seen.
From our experience, least, we haven't.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what it's like over East, but what we've seen gigs-wise, people are still going to gigs and everything. It's just when it comes to festivals, I think, just because they're so expensive and lineups, you know, say, aren't what people are looking for. For example, GTM or something. So, but I think people are still going to gigs. Like, look at Fred again, you know. He was, he just, like, posted on his Instagram story the link and it sold out in Perth in, like, an hour. 35,000 people.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. Like, we're over East having the... and I also went to a Fred Again show over here, so that worked for me. The real last-minute ticket purchases, so it gets to, like, say your gig's on a Friday and it gets to, like, Thursday morning and, you need to sell, like, another 50, 60 tickets or whatever. Are you guys seeing that over West?
Not really. Only really with Fred Again. Yeah, have you?
I mean, our friends are pretty bad at buying tickets. Like, they will buy tickets... very last minute, like and then we get like when a show sells out, everyone's scrambling for door tickets because they like no one just buys tickets in advance, and I think that is a problem in itself. Like I get why, because like I just feel like maybe it's something, you know, if you don't have the money or whatever, you know, you buy it when you get paid, whatever. So, yeah, I do feel like tickets do get sold at last minute. But then there's, like, other people that sell out as soon as they... I don't know. It's really hard. I've had these conversations with people, and it's so...
I think it's also the whole supply-demand thing as well. Like, Fred Again is so in demand. You know, he's hot shit at the moment, so people want to see him.
Yeah. Really glad you used him as an example and not Taylor Swift. Thank you for that.
Well, I mean, then again, you know, like, respect to Taylor Swift. Like, she's... like doing super well, and it's like, even though she's not my cup of tea, she's like massive respect to her.
Like the Splendor lineup came out, and a lot of our mutual gig mates, bands, and that type of stuff were on it. Awesome to see them get on it. And then when you see people comment that it's trash, that it's like this is the worst lineup they've ever seen, and like these guys, like these. Been doing it for like the last couple of years, they've been building up, and then they're on a lineup, it gets cancelled and it gets called dog shit. Does that worry you guys moving forward when you're trying to get booked on festivals, or like you kind of have to go, what's this festival's track record, or do you just go, fuck it, it's a festival, let's go play it?
We'd be fuck it, there's a festival. But yeah, that is a worry though. Like, imagine that, like Mervs were playing this year and you know, then it got cancelled, and it's like, fuck, those boys have been grinding hard. So it's like, shit.
Yeah, it is scary. I guess I haven't even really thought. It's been quite a new topic, so I haven't really thought about it as because we haven't been like on festival lineups yet, so it's not even really something we've thought about. Yeah. But like, obviously, yeah, it does affect a lot of our friends, so it is quite scary.
Mm.
What about finding that touring balance? A lot of the complaints were like, oh, we've already seen these guys three or four times. They've been on this festival or they toured then. Like, do you go, yep, we toured this place 6 months ago. We're not going to go there for 2 years just so people want to, you know, have that hunger to see us. Do you think about that at all?
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. 100%. It's striking that balance though, because we would have only been over East once after this tour. So it's like, if you start getting more popular, it'd be good to go over again, you know, because there'd be a whole new group of people maybe. I don't know.
I do like, if I haven't seen someone in a while, if they haven't come to Perth in a while or whatever, I do want to go see them more because I'm like, oh, I haven't seen these guys in so long. So maybe it does subconsciously have an effect.
I guess it depends what stage you are in as well. Like, we're in the building stage, but then it's like, for example, Middle Kids are coming over.
And we have...
I've never seen them live before, and they're, like, my favourite band ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about it all the time, people being way more selective. Like, you've already been over East once. Like, when you come back, I know you're on a support for this one, but say if you come back, would you like change venue or like just go out like a little to the next city over or next town over just to make sure that you guys aren't, you know, doing the same thing?
I'm not sure. We'd probably do different venues than Rara because obviously they're much bigger than us, so they would be able to sell out venues or like, you know, play venues that would draw a bigger crowd than us. So we'd probably find a few smaller venues. But yeah, we haven't really thought about that too much.
I think the culture in WA is so going to gigs is like just your week, like, I don't know, just, and it's sort of, everyone's so close and everyone like supports each other. So I guess I feel like I've seen Old Mervs and Rara Viper, like I would probably say 100 times and I still don't get bored of it. Like it's sort of just how over here we just, that's just what you do on the weekend. That's what it feels like. But yeah, I don't know. This is a really like hard topic. I've thought about this and spoken about this with different people, but everyone sort of has different answers and different, like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting to get people over West's opinion because people over East, like, we think, well, the people I've spoken to, and I've started doing live TikToks now, and the conversations that you guys have actually got mentioned a few times. So I play music in the background. So I was like, yeah, I'll put on some Lil Guilt. Fuck yeah. And people are always like, we've got to be more selective. Gigs over here are super expensive. But then you're talking like, oh, it's gigs. It's just what we do. I saw a post about the Perth music scene on TikTok the other day. And it was like, the Perth music scene is dying. I don't see that though. Do you guys see any of that, like less people at gigs or like less shows or whatever? Or is it kind of just like everything as normal for you?
I'm not aware that it's dying. I go to gigs and there's usually heaps of people there. You know, like, and you see people you know all the time. So I don't, it all depends on your perspective though and what you like, you know?
Mm.
Like,
I think some bands, as like you would expect, like some bands sort of fall off as well, and that maybe might feel like things are dying, but then you get new bands coming through and then it's all this new change and all that stuff. I think sometimes it's because like when the bands who we started with compared to the bands who are around are very different. So like, yeah, maybe things fall off and then come back up, but like it's not something we've noticed, like especially with really something we've noticed.
Yeah, I guess that, like we have like we go to our, you know, we go to gigs and everything often, and yeah, we just kind of see our mates there as well, you know, because we've all become quite close. But yeah, like I said, it's kind of like I'm sure bands pick up and then there's a bit of a lull, the new bands come, and it's kind of just like a wave. So that might be it.
Going on tours, like you're doing a support for Rara, is that like the safe way forward? Like that's like the safety net of like, okay, we know these guys get numbers, they've been over, like you don't have to take that risk. Is that what that is, that like kind of the way forward?
Yeah, it was kind of perfect timing. Yeah 100%. Like we know these guys get, you know, a pretty decent crowd, and
it's it for us.
Yeah, it's awesome for us because, you know, we got new music coming out and it's like, you know, and yeah, it takes that pressure off, but it still gets us seen over there, so it's
And plus we get to travel with our best friends.
Yeah, we get to.
Yeah, I saw you playing at Byron and I was like, oh yeah, I haven't been to Byron in a while. I'll go down to Byron. Have you guys been like to the Northern or anything? Is this like brand new experience?
Never. Super keen.
As free as well, like fuck. People are always yelling out or screaming out for free gigs, there's one, Byron. They typically don't have much money, so that's a good one to go to. Upcoming plans for you guys. You have mentioned an EP a few times. What's the next little couple months look like for you?
So we got EP. Well, we got the tour in next week. Starts next week. And then an EP in around May. And then we got a few more Perth shows booked post that in around June. Yeah, bigger ones than say we've done before. So
yeah. But we would like to go over East a little bit more or do a few more tours towards the end of the year. We'd We'd love to get on the big sound lineup. That's yeah. probably a big goal of ours.
Did you apply?
We haven't yet, but we probably will do that.
I was going to actually bring it up on the pod. You guys have got to. This is the year to apply, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. When do applications close?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw them open like a month ago, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's like there's always like a little flavour of Perth over there. I think it was Rah-Rah last year and Dice.
Yeah.
Old Mervs the year before, Death by Denim the year before. Yeah. So I definitely think this is the year to head over here. But is there, I saw the where the tour is going. Is there any place that you're like, fuck, that's a show that I want to do? Like, I'm super keen to be in that location.
Melbourne for me.
Yeah, Melbourne. We've got heaps of friends and family and things like that in Melbourne, so we're very excited for the Melbourne show for sure. And a lot of people from Perth move to Melbourne, so like, there's a lot of our friends over there. So yeah, that's probably a standout. And then maybe Sydney next.
Honestly, any.
We're so excited. Just like all the shows are just. So exciting.
You won't be able to check your stream numbers, Ella, on the weekends because you'll be too busy touring. So you'll have to check once a week or something. Last question from me. I've been asking bands, like just trying to spread the love a little bit. And I want to know one Aussie artist that you're like have on repeat at the moment and one Aussie song that you've also got on repeat at the moment.
Aussie artist.
Yeah, Aussie. Spreading the love.
My probably new all-time favourite band is the Blair Lip Bombs. I'm obsessed with them. Every single one of their songs is just hit me in a spot I didn't even know was there. But probably a song. Do you want to say your artist?
I've been listening to, she's quite big. She doesn't need my support, but Angie McMahon. Mm-hmm. I'm loving her recent album. It's so fucking good. I've been rinsing her lately. And favorite song. Don't do this to me.
The Bella Lip Bombs, that's an easy one to pick, Ella.
So good. I'd probably say one of their songs, Look the Part. Look the Part's probably my favourite.
Actually, a bit of Hometowner, Full Nelson, their new song, Be Alright. Fucking sick.
Full Nelson. I only saw them on TikTok a little bit ago and I just followed them. I was like, there's a band that I find maybe once every couple months that I'm like, I'll fucking rinse the shit out of that bad boy. And they're uploading like covers on TikTok. And I was like, that's a good surfy sound. And of course, I was like, it's fucking Full Nelson killing it. Said stay or go there, Ella. That was the correct answer.
Honestly, all of them, I don't even think I could pick. They're all so good. Or actually an all-time favourite song of me, and I just can't even believe we even associate with these guys, but Humble Mater 10-2 is just like, oh, my God, it's always a favourite of mine. Like, yeah. That is bizarre.
Yeah, those boys are so much fun as well.
Yeah.
They're great blokes and they also make music.
Yeah.
So. Andrew Mann's Like a Version as well. I think it's like one of the top tier Like a Versions. So also a great artist. Ella Mott from Little Gilp. See you on your East Coast tour. I'll see you at Byron Bay and hope the EP kills it.
Sweet. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Yeah.
To keep up to date with all things breaking through, make sure to check out our socials.